Hello and welcome back to the Church of Jesus Christ study session with Come Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts and this is Season 5, Episode 112 of this Daily Study podcast. Thank you so much for joining us once again today as we continue with our study of this week's Come Follow Me materials found in May the 22nd to May the 28th in Joseph Smith Matthew 1, Matthew 24-25, Mark 12-13 and Luke chapter 21. Today we're going to look specifically at Matthew 25 and talk about how our need to be ready for the second coming. We've spoken about this for a couple of days already now so far, but we're going to focus on one of the parables that the Saviour gives to kind of relate to us the message about being prepared for his coming. And of course, one that springs to mind with this is the parable of the 10 virgins. We know the 5 wise and the 5 foolish, and how the 5 wise had oil in their lamps and took oil with them, so extra oil, and that the 5 foolish did not take oil with them. Now, the thing which defines these two groups is the taking of the extra oil. This seems to indicate to me, and you know, this is something I hadn't reflected on before, that all these virgins had oil, which, if we're going to liken this to our preparedness for the second coming, all of us who have faith in the Saviour and who wait his coming have oil to begin with. So we all have a faith, we all have some level of testimony of the Saviour if we're waiting for him to return or to arrive at the wedding feast, as it was in this sense. But in verse 4 it says, "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." So we know that is the key difference. Now, as we know, as the parable goes on, they slumbered and slept, and they waited whilst the bridegroom tarried. And then at verse 6 it says, "And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Now I think that the midnight is not a coincidental choice of time by the Saviour of the parable. It could well be a contextual thing, that this is the time that these types of things happen in a wedding festival. Or perhaps he's making reference as well to how he often referred to how the second coming will take place at midnight, and that we are currently in the 11th hour, and so on. But in either case, this is to represent him coming to the earth again. And in verse 7 it says, "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps." Now let's just talk about trimming their lamps, what that means. So in Wikipedia, you can find out what a lamp trimmer is. And it's someone basically on a ship who trims lamps. And by trimming lamps, we're talking about how they cut away parts of the wick to keep it even, so that the light burned brightly and didn't smoke or have hot spots or things like that. So in other words, it's to keep the candle wick kind of neat, even and clean, so that the flame that's produced is of the brightest, purest quality. And I think that is interesting, because I think there's a number of analogies or things we can pick out from even just trimming a lamp. To take from the entry of that article, it says, quote, "The skilled part of being a lamp trimmer was the ability to trim a wick in such a way that it would burn evenly without hot spots, so that it would not need attention again for some time. A poorly trimmed wick creates a flame which is dim and smoky. A properly trimmed wick should come to a rounded point, or should be a wedge shape. When lit, the wick should burn clearly all the way up to the highest flame it can make. The flame should be at least the width of the wick, and even, not ragged." Close quote. So this idea that if you are dedicated and you are expertly, or you are diligently, is probably the better word, diligently trimming your lamp, then your testimony will burn brighter. It will not be dim and smoky and not reach its potential, but rather it will create the brightest lights that it can provide and the most even light it can make. And not only that, but it will also mean that you will last longer. You will be able to burn brightly without not needing much more attention for some time. Now, of course, you know, the principle is with our testimony that we should always be building it on it and we should always be fueling it. But I like the idea that if we are diligent in keeping our testimonies bright and working on it and trimming our wick, to in our preparation for the second coming, then we won't need as much help or support in our testimony when difficulties come along. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, if we need some help or some support, that's not okay. That's not what I'm saying at all, of course. But what I am saying is that the more we trim our wicks, the more we work on our candles, then the more likely it is that our testimony will continue to burn bright even through the darkest times. So I think that that is just a really interesting level to this parable, which was interesting to reflect on. We'll move on. And in verse 8, the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. And in verse 9, but the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now, of course, we have this kind of point here of, well, are these wise virgins being unfair, or could they have spared some of the oil? But of course, in terms of the principle that it's teaching, it just doesn't work that way. Elder David A. Bednar said this, quote, were the wise five wise virgins selfish and unwilling to share, or were they indicating correctly that the oil of conversion cannot be borrowed? Can the spiritual strength that results from consistent obedience to the commandments be given to another person? Can the knowledge obtained through diligent study and pondering of the scriptures be conveyed to one who is in need? Can the peace the gospel brings to a faithful Latter-day Saint be transferred to an individual experiencing adversity or great challenge? The clear answer to each of these questions is no. As the wise virgins emphasized properly, each of us must buy for ourselves. These inspired women were not describing a business transaction. Rather, they were emphasizing our individual responsibility to keep our lamp of testimony burning and to obtain an ample supply of the oil of conversion. This precious oil is acquired one drop at a time, line upon line and precept upon precept. 2 Nephi 28:30, patiently and persistently. No shortcut is available. No last minute of flurry of preparation is possible. Wherefore, be faithful, praying always, having your lamps trimmed and burning, and oil with you, that you may be ready for the coming of the bridegroom. Close quote. So I think Elder Bednar just sums up wonderfully kind of that principle that, yes, if we read the parable in the wrong way, then perhaps, you know, we might look at the five wise virgins and think that they're very cruel or undersharing or not very charitable. But actually, it's describing a principle that we cannot do for others. They must be prepared and prepare themselves in their own time and in their own efforts. Of course, we can support, we can help, we can guide. And that's what these women did, don't forget. They did guide them. They didn't just stand there and say, no, sorry, can't give you any. They did guide them to a solution. They guided them to a place where they could receive that testimony or they could receive that oil. The only issue is of course, the foolish virgins waited till the very last moment before then realizing they needed more oil, and then went to go get it. But by that point, it was too late and they missed the wedding feast. So as the Saviour says in verse 13, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So it's just an interesting parable, this, and, you know, always one which is useful to study and reflect on and think and apply for ourselves, because I'm sure that, you know, there's times we are the foolish virgins, many times perhaps in our lives, where we are not focusing on our covenants, or where we are becoming lax in our Sabbath day observance, or where we are, you know, it could be a number of things that we do or don't do, as the case may be. You know, maybe we're not reaching out to others as much as we could. It is just one of those things to help us take that stand and reflect on what we could be doing to bring ourselves closer to the Lord and have more of our oil in our vessels ready for the coming of the bridegroom. Thank you so much for studying with us today, and until we meet again.